In the name of Jesus Christ, the servant king, amen. Well, a week from today is July 4th, and for us as Americans, we celebrate this national holiday of Independence Day. We celebrate it in numerous ways. How will you be observing Independence Day a week from now? Well, most likely, my family and I will be doing what we typically and traditionally do on the morning of the 4th of July. We go to one of our local parades, most likely in Webster Groves. And the parade there is very similar to parades that are held throughout our country. You have the floats, you have the people throwing out candy for the kiddos, you've got policemen mounted on horses marching down the parade route. You have beauty queens sitting in convertibles and waving with that very distinctive hand wave. You have all kinds of different entries to the parade. But the participants that you see most, at least in this parade, are politicians, right? Those seeking some public office. It might be a national office, Senate or Congress. It might be a state office, the state legislature. The county executive is usually there campaigning, and local offices. And what's most interesting to me is to observe not the candidates, but the crowd. Because as the candidate passes by, the supporters will cheer and applaud and acclaim him or her. So the Democratic candidate comes by, and those in the audience who are Democrats will laud him or her. The Republican candidate comes by, and the Democrats are silent, maybe murmuring under their breath. But the Republicans are cheering and applauding. Very, very interesting. It's very, very partisan, even in an Independence Day parade. And why so? Why are people responding this way? Well, I think it's because they are pinning their hopes on these candidates. They're pinning their hopes that this candidate will bring a better future for them and for their country, prosperity, and maybe push their particular social agenda as well. And so they see these candidates as their rescuers, their heroes, in a sense, their messiahs. This was illustrated, I think, very, very blatantly back in the 2008 presidential campaign. And I have a memento from that campaign, this t-shirt. You see Barack Obama there, and the words read, Messiah 2008. Now, this is no joke. This was being promulgated by supporters of then-Senator Obama. And they saw him as their Messiah, their hope, the one to pin their hopes upon. The reality, though, is oftentimes with such political candidates, when they get into office, they don't quite fulfill the expectations that we have of them. President Obama is an example. Just yesterday, I went online and checked what his public approval ratings are. They're about as low as they've been for him, 41%. The majority of the people in this country disapprove of his performance. And that's oftentimes the case. We pin our hopes on these people, that they will be our rescuers. They will be the ones who will solve all of our society's problems. But the promises prove empty. And we are disappointed. Our text today from Zechariah chapter 9 holds forth the promise of one and holds forth many promises about him. one who would come as a king to Zion. Verse 9 says he comes to Zion righteous and bringing salvation. And it promises here that he will be one who will disarm all of the enemies and bring liberation to the people. He will release the prisoners from the waterless pit, and he will establish a peace that will extend throughout the earth. His reign will be from sea to shining sea. He will reign over the nations. What hope? What hope for these post-exilic people, these people of Jerusalem who have come back to Judea from captivity in Babylon with great hopes, great expectations, hopes for a new Davidic dynasty. And yet things just don't seem to be happening as they would expect. There's discouragement. There's disappointment. And so Zechariah gives them this hope in this prophecy, these promises. But will they hold true? And so the people of Judea waited. They waited decades, they waited centuries for this promised one to come. And on that Sunday afternoon, prior to the Passover festival, around 33 AD, they thought he had arrived. For he was coming into the city, into Jerusalem, and he was riding on the donkey, just as Zechariah said he would. And so they acclaim him as their king in this parade. They see this as a kind of Independence Day parade, for here's the one who would bring independence to them. He would disarm the enemy, overthrow the Roman occupiers. He would free the prisoners, them who had been under the oppression of the Romans. He would establish a peace for them and a security that would never be assailed. And he would reign, and his dominion would be shared with them. That was their hope. That was their expectation. But when that parade was done, and the procession into the week continued, it soon became clear that this one wouldn't meet their expectations. And so soon the tide turns, and the crowds cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He is betrayed. He is convicted. He is crucified, nailed to that morbid execution post of a Roman cross. And it looks like just one more messianic claimant has fallen. Just as his rise was meteoric, his demise is meteoric. So it seems. Were Zechariah's promises not true? Were they not to be fulfilled? The reality is, though, that even though their expectations weren't achieved, Zechariah's promises were. God's promises through Zechariah were accomplished and fulfilled in this one who entered into Jerusalem. And how did he enter in? He entered in not riding a horse as a mighty warrior to liberate the people. He rides in on a donkey. And the text says, in humility. He comes as a servant. He comes to serve. That was his purpose. And that was his promise, to serve. Even as he himself attested, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And it was on that Friday afternoon that he fulfilled that purpose and fulfilled that promise to give his life as a ransom for many, to give his life as a ransom for you. The promise was fulfilled. And all of those promises that Zechariah identifies find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Because in his death, he has disarmed the enemies, our ultimate enemies of sin and death and Satan. And he has established peace, true peace. Having been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God, the true shalom. And he is the one who reigns. He reigns eternally. He reigns over all because he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He ascended on high. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he shall reign forever and ever, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And he liberates us, you, the prisoners, from that destiny of the waterless pit, the destiny of hell. He has done that because he is indeed the King. And so we follow in his parade. We pin our hopes, our eternal hopes, on him. We trust his promises. We acclaim him the servant king, the Messiah, our Lord. Amen.